Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have the greatest sidekick of all time with me, Miss Marie Rose.
Hello everybody.
Hello Miss Marie Rose. How are you?
I'm good. I'm exhausted, mm-hmm. but good.
So our little Marie was gone for a week on workcation. That's the best way to put it, because you were supposed to be on vacation, but ended up working.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I went to St. George Island with a bunch of friends to attend a music festival called Rock by the Sea. And it is it's a benefit to raise money to fight pediatric brain cancer. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You told me that before and I forgot that.
And
that's a really cool cause.
So you basically, I mean, all kinds of musicians come down and, oh my gosh, they play music for like anywhere from 12 to 14 hours straight. And it is
great day.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And, you know, they rotate in and out for 30, 45 minute sets. And it's a lot. Mm-hmm. But it's awesome. And of course, at work, I was slated as a proposal manager for a certain, document that was about to drop.
Mic drop.
And yeah, so the document, the proposal decided to...
The universe wants us to just not do anything tonight, guys, because it just knocked Marie's mic right over.
It did. And yeah, so the proposal dropped on my first day of vacation.
Sure.
So I spent my vacation working on this proposal. And anyways, yeah, so while people were having fun, I was writing. But I could always stand up and look outside the window and see dolphins frolicking in the Gulf of Mexico. And
really?
Yep. And then I would, when I shut my machine down, I went and joined the fun and made up for lost time, and hence the exhaustion.
Good Lord. Yeah, those working vacations are really tough, because it's supposed to be vacation. You end up working the whole time. I've done that too many times.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. it's the price of being gainfully employed.
It is. It comes with the territory. And nowadays, with having work phones and or just a phone, period, and laptops and all, like, you're just accessible all the time.
Right. You know, the internet, it's a blessing and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a blessing that I didn't have to cancel my vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a curse because I had to work on my vacation. But it's a balance, and I took care of that balance. I worked during the day, you know, put some extra time in here and there so that I could have play time, you know, during the weekend and not have to work the weekend. Nice. Which, if I was here, if I was home, mm-hmm. I probably would have worked the weekend. But it's all good.
Yeah,
it's
it is all good. It is all good.
And I think we raised a lot of money for to fight brain cancer for the kids. And
that's awesome.
It was a good time. That's good time. Awesome. Good time, good people.
Less cancer in the world, or no cancer in the world, is what we're after.
That's right.
Get rid of it. So tonight, you guys, we are bringing all the creepy with a side of laughs, as usual, just for you. What will we talk about tonight? Let's see, the dead walking, witches casting, spells in full brew, you know, midnight mayhem. It's the one, the only witching hour. So excited.
Yeah. When you told me that we were going to do the witching hour, I got so excited.
Mm-hmm. And I am so proud of you for being so excited. And I love you a little more. I didn't know it was possible, because this is right up my alley. The things that go bump in the night.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So, the witching hour, you guys, in case you've never heard of it, it is that creepy time of night. And here's where, you know, opinions differ. It is said to be from midnight, anywhere from midnight to 4 a.m. And it is that time that is also referred to as the chime hour, the time late at night when magical powers are believed to be at their strongest. It's the time to cast witches are said to cast their magic, and the dead demons and other creatures are said to walk our plane because the veil is the thinnest at this time of day. The witching hour. So it's like happy hour. It's not exactly 1 hour. I don't know where this comes from. This 1 hour.
Yeah, basically it's the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, I mean, I know they say it's between 3 and 4 a.m. or 2 and 4 a.m. or whatever. I just believe it's the quietest time of the mm-hmm. night.
Agreed. Agreed. So here is some folklore associated with the witching hour. So the witching hour is a time of night associated with supernatural events, obvi, because the dead are walking, the demons are out playing and frolicking like dolphins, and, you know. So the name for this time of night is said to come from witches being more active from midnight to 4 a.m. Mediums are said to be more active during this time of day because ghosts are more active during this time of day. Not this medium. No. Midnight to 4 a.m., my behind better be asleep. And if I'm not, heads will roll.
So do you wake up in the middle of the night?
I do. Oh, so the other night, I was trying to fall asleep. And like, I was still awake. I closed my eyes, like just, you know, repositioned again. Closed my eyes. And I suddenly feel, do you remember back in like when we had just finished Reiki level one, and I was talking to you guys about like feeling like somebody touching my feet, and it was like that,
yeah, I remember,
like pulsating feeling, and mm-hmm. so I felt that, except like on my left knee, like I was laying on my back, which, you know, I don't often do because of the sleep paralysis. I'm so afraid of that. It's happened to me a lot of times, but anyway, I digress. So I feel this like rubbing, pulsating feeling on my left knee, like on the in, just on the very inside of my knee. And I was like, the hell is this? So my immediate response was, no, get that out. It's like, I don't have time for this. I'm trying to sleep. So I am, you know, it startled me because I wasn't expecting that, but I'm happy that now I am in a place where I can immediately just like protect myself, defend myself. And even if it's good, even if it's bad, it doesn't matter to me. I'm like, shields up. No, sir. Or ma'am, whatever.
Sleepy time.
Yes, it is sleepy time. This is my time. This is my area. So, yeah, not this medium. I do not like to be awake from midnight to 4 a.m. because I have to get up early and do things like everyone else. So, no. But yes, I do sometimes, a lot, wake up in the middle of the night and... Yeah, that did startle me the other night. And then last night, I don't know if it was last night or the night before, again, like I had just like gotten comfortable, closed my eyes, and this like creepy, like, I don't even know how to describe it. This like face like popped up right in my face. And I don't remember a ton about the face, but it was like a dark face. And there was like a red beaded necklace or something around the neck. Like it was like a long necklace. So I could see kind of like mid torso up. And I was like, oh my, like it startled me where like I could feel my head like kind of jerk back into the pillow. I was like, what the hell? I was like, no, shields up. Shields way up.
I think you need to clear out your house.
Yes. I agree.
Or at least your bedroom.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, yeah. When I got in the shower today, I lit an incense stick. And I was like, smoke of air and fire and earth, yada, yada. It's like, no, sir.
Yeah. Get the heck out.
Yeah. I was like, no. So, yes, that is a thing that's said, is the mediums and the ghosts and the whatever, they're, you know, awake at the same time. No. Not here.
You cannot relate.
No, I will not relate. So demons, witches, gremlins, ghosts are said to be at their most powerful, again, because it's a powerful time of day. Witches are encouraged to cast during this time of night because magic is more effective. Women caught outside, you know, back in the day, hopefully not today. So the women that were caught outside without sufficient reason were oftentimes executed because they were said to be witches practicing the craft. Yes. If they were suspected of being witches.
Yeah, so much for being a night owl.
I know. So to make this time of night even creepier, we have the devil's hour, which is from 3 a.m. to 4 a.m., which is considered to be the peak of supernatural activity due to the absence of prayers during this hour. Why? Because everyone's ass is asleep. No one is up praying from 3 to 4. So, you know, I guess the devil's like, oh, this is my time. So it's also said, also believed that Christ died at 3 p.m. And since 3 a.m. is in direct opposition to 3 p.m., demons are said to be the most active because, you know, why not oppose the baby Jesus? Why not? And, you know, if you believe Hollywood, then it's also said to 3 a.m. is, or, you know, the number 3 is said to mock the Holy Trinity.
Oh, you can't do that.
I know. It's not right.
No, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are some of the, you know, that's some of the folklore that goes along with the witching hour because, you know, why not? Why not? So why is this time of night so convenient for supernatural activity, Marie? What do you think?
Well, it is the quiet time of the night. I think, you know, all of your electronics have been turned off and so there's not all that interference. Everyone's asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And your mind is clear. And you are just opened up mm-hmm. to everything that you're missing out on during the day due to all the noise in your yeah. world. You know I definitely had a lot of noise in my world. And I have to make a conscious effort to quiet my mind and, mm-hmm. and receive any messages. I kind of imagine them kind of queued up. Waiting for me for mm-hmm. for when I get to meditate and clear mm-hmm. my mind and I know I'm not meditating enough when I wake up in the middle of the night because I do feel like it's my guides poking me and mm-hmm. and at night I can finally hear them. However, I want to sleep.
Not tonight, guys.
So that's what I think.
Those are all really good points. So I agree with you. People during this time of night are typically asleep. You know, except for night shift workers and whatever. Some people are just night owls and just is what it is. So things are extra quiet. Under the cover of night and darkness and the sleeping world, it is far easier for, and I'll go back, like historically, it was far easier for witches and beings from other planes to be amongst us, everyone else that is asleep, without being seen. So, you know, witches doing whatever they were doing. And this isn't, I'm not talking like, you know, evil works or anything like that. And even if it is, like, this is the prime time for them to be out doing their stuff, collecting the frogs and whatever. You know, I don't know what the mean witches were doing, but casting and all of that stuff. I mean.
Oh, we can't relate to the mean witches.
No. No. And you know what? How many times haven't you been out and about between like midnight and 4 a.m.? And do you know, like, can you definitively say that you've not seen a witch? You can't, because they're not running around in like a black robe and a pointy hat with like green and black socks.
No, I just spent a week running around from midnight to 4 a.m. and mm-hmm. it was all good. Mm-hmm. It was all fun stuff.
So any witches you came upon were nice witches.
Right.
They weren't trying to off you or sacrifice you or, which I don't even think that's what witches are about.
No.
It's not a thing. So, you know, moving on. Scientifically, waking up at 3 a.m., there is a lot that's said about, you know, so let me stop there. Back in the day, I love this. Back in the day, people used to rise and rest with the sun and the moon. Rise with the sun, you know, turn in, like close up shop when the sun sets.
Yeah, they call that what, your circadian rhythms?
Mm-hmm. It's their circadian rhythm. So that's how it used to be. have you ever noticed when you go camping, you are more in tune with the environment? So you wake up with the sun, like the sun is coming up, it's the butt crack of day, and you're like, what the, I never get up this early, but you know, the sun like wakes your body up. And you're up and about and, you know, you're likely drinking and stuff. So you're not going to sleep with, you know, as soon as the moon comes up. But whatever. We're not talking about that. But you know what I mean, right? Like,
yes,
you're out there. It's like you're more relaxed. Things are peaceful. You're one with nature and you're.
Yeah, there is no sleeping until noon when you're out camping.
No, that is not a thing. Not a thing.
Because the sun's waking you up, the birds are waking you up. It's not a thing.
Exactly. So
trust me, I've tried.
Yeah, as have I. It is definitely not a thing. But you know, so going back to it, your body does like women specifically. There is a lot that is said about women and the menstrual cycle and the cycle of the moon. Like it all goes together. The cycle of the moon is what, 28 days. That, right? Yeah. It's like a 28-day cycle, which mm-hmm. which lines up perfectly with what's considered a normal menstrual cycle. So it is no wonder that the body goes through this. You know, we'll go back to the circadian rhythm and people, you know, rising and resting with the sun and the moon. So the circadian rhythm, if you don't know what that is, it's like your body's clock. So it's a 24-hour cycle that tells your body when to rise, when to get up. Or I'm sorry, when to sleep, when to rise, when to eat. And it's affected by environmental cues. So like you said, at night you turn off electronics, you go to bed, you turn in, like, you know, you turn the lights off, whatever the case. It's, you know, the sunlight, the temperature, all of these things affect you. So, you know, if it determines if you wake up feeling energized and ready to go, or if you wake up feeling tired and depleted throughout the day, or, you know, whatever the case. So scientifically, they do say that, you know, is there something supernatural behind this? No, it's very likely your circadian rhythm is off, or your particular rhythm says that you wake up, you know, at like 4 a.m. and then you're, you know, until 5 or 6 a.m. when your alarm goes off, you're just kind of resting, if you will, like resting your eyes. You're not full on asleep. So, I mean, it could be a disorder, could be a circadian rhythm disorder. Or it could be your body's clock telling you to get the hell up.
It could be, but I'm sticking to the spirit guide story.
I know. I like that one better. Circadian rhythm be damned. So, you know, I do think that I'll say me personally, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I open my eyes and I look around, like my eyes dart around because I am scanning my situation, my environment. I'm looking for dragons. I'm like, who's in my room? What's going on? And I have done this forever and ever since I was little. I can remember doing that. And I just like, there's that moment of a little bit of anxiety where I'm trying to assess and process. And I'm like, okay, we're all good. And, you know, if I sense something is around or I can see something is around, I deal with it and hopefully back to sleep I go. So that is not specific to just me. There are most people wake up, you know, if they wake up in the night like that, they kind of go through the same process where they're like, you know, what's going on? Why am I awake? Let me scan, assess, process, back to sleep I go. So again, it doesn't necessarily have to be supernatural, but every now and then there is a bump in the night that just, you know, like, for example, do you ever, as you're falling asleep or you are asleep, you hear like a loud noise and you kind of jump up and you're like, what the hell was that?
Yes, that's happened.
And it's like, there's nothing. Like the other night, I thought I heard my flip-flop hit the floor. But I mean, they were on the floor by my bed and I thought like Huey came over. And as he was trying to get his pillow and lay down, like he kind of bumped it and it came up in the air a little and hit the ground. You know what I mean? Like enough so that.
Yeah, he knocked it.
Right. So I'm like, what the hell? And I turn around and look over the edge of the bed and no Huey. My flip flops are exactly where I left them. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that sound was.
Maybe you dreamt it.
Right. Right. Which happens all the time. So. But yeah, those types of things. So, you know, something like that. You hear that in your sleep or your dream, or, you know, that state where you're just dozing off and you bolt up and look around in a panic, and, you know, it doesn't mean the devil is sitting with you, but it could. What have you been doing? All right, so let's talk other theories. So there is such a thing as the witching hour. It just doesn't happen every night. So here's a really good theory that I read, a cool explanation. So the Encyclopedia of Witches and Witchcraft by Rosemary Ellen Gillie may explain it, and I think it was a good explanation. So in this encyclopedia, she says the hour of midnight on the night of the full moon is what the witching hour is. This is a time of transformation and change and the height of the witch's spellcasting powers. The roots of this notion go back to ancient time, to worship of goddess associated with the moon, fertility, and witchcraft, which is cool because we kind of talked about that a few episodes back when we talked about Beltane. We talked about Ostara, you know, the springtime coming in and the fertility of the earth and the magic and all of that cool stuff. So she goes on to say, as the moon waxes in its phases, so do the powers associated with it and its deities until they culminate at the full moon. So the goddess that she is likely referring to is Selene, whose powers are strongest during the full and the dark moon, which very cool. So I liked her explanation because in her mind, when it's referring to casting and power and magic, it's not an all the time kind of thing. This is specific to the full moon and using the power of the full moon to manifest these things.
Oh yeah, there's spells out there that, you know, is best used at the full moon, best mm-hmm. used at the dark moon, the best used at this phase, that phase, mm-hmm. all depending on what you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
So that makes sense to me.
Yeah, to me too. And it makes sense that, you know, I didn't find anything in my research that showed that this is something, you know, if people were catching women out, let's say in the middle of the night, it wasn't specific to one time of month, or, you know, it wasn't like, oh, they were finding them all the time. Or so I don't know if this was like they found them once a month and were like, oh, crap, you know, we're being taken over by women running around at night. So I don't know. I couldn't find anything that was really detailed, but I thought her explanation was very cool. So let's also consider this, guys. Which midnight are we actually talking about? So if the witching hour is in fact from midnight to 4 a.m. with, you know, 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. being the devil's hour, we're just going to roll it all up together. Which midnight are we talking about? Because there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 24 time zones, and then there's daylight savings time. And do the demons and the ghosts and the witches, not the witches, we'll take them out, but the demons and the ghosts, are they wearing watches? Do they know what time is midnight for you? And they're like, now guys, or the time changes and they're like, crap, we got it wrong.
Like, well, and I think that explains the range of time that's documented for the witching hour. Mm-hmm. Because there's, you know, dumbass humans did implement a daylight savings time mm-hmm. to screw everything up. So that's why I do think it is a time range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That can't be nailed down because we keep changing time. And time is man-made.
Yes, it is.
So I think it's basically the darkest hour of the night.
Mm-hmm. It is. I agree. It's the quietest. It's the, I mean.
Right. Whatever it is for the part of the world that you're living in.
Right. Agreed. And, you know, I'll say there's something about darkness that is very powerful. And is it positive or negative? That's up to you to decide. And that can change all the time from one second to the next. There have been a lot of times that I felt that darkness was very negative. There have been many times where I felt that it was positive. When I close my eyes to meditate, there's darkness. But there is so much beautiful magic that comes out of that. Even if it's just, I'm going to like go into this with the intention of meditating and immediately fall asleep. Still positive experience. But, you know, It's really what you make of it, I think, and what you decide to believe in and put your power into. So if you put negative energy into the night and the darkness, then I think that's what you're going to get back. Now, does that mean if you have something going on in your home that that is your fault or a result of something you're doing? Definitely not. That's not at all what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is that making sense?
So yes, I wake up in the middle of the night all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, you know, the cat is mad because he's hungry or he's lonely or whatever. You know, your significant other snoring, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times that I will get up, I will be woken up in the middle of the night for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my first thought is usually a cuss word.
Yes.
for waking up.
Yes.
And this is what I need to get better about, is just accepting it, stopping and clearing my head and, okay, you know, center yourself. Okay, spirit guides, you know, did you wake me up for a reason? Because this better be good. And kind of opening myself up to whatever message I'm supposed to receive.
That's a great approach. That's a really great approach. Yeah,
but you got to be careful, you know, to only, you know, to set your intentions, to set your rules, to set your boundaries,
because
mm-hmm. You will get messages that are not, you know, for yes, they're meant for you, but not for your best interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got other spirit guides representing other people trying, hey, go do this.
Yeah.
You know, because it's to benefit their charges, right, not necessarily you. So, you know, so yeah, when you are woken up and there is no explanation for it, there is no dog, you know, hauling away a flip flop or whatever, you know, clear your mind, say a prayer, you know, to only accept messages from beings with messages that are good for your higher self.
Mm-hmm.
and open yourself up and see what happens. There are a lot of times where I've said prayers and then the answer comes in meditation, and I'm not really good at receiving messages during dreams because I'm horrible about writing them down, even though I keep a writing journal by my bed with the intention of doing it.
But, as am I.
But when I'm asleep, I'm asleep, and I like my sleep.
Yes, me too.
So,
like, don't bother me.
So, but I understand. I am my own worst enemy. There's just so many things going on during the day,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I need the 2 or 3 a.m. you know, poke in the head from one of my primary guides saying, hey, hear this. And sometimes it's an answer to a problem that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hey, you need to balance things out. You're going, you know, too far in one direction.
I agree. I totally agree with you. That's a great way to look at it, a great thing to do. And I had a friend a long time ago tell me about waking up in the night like that and using that time as a time for prayer, because along the same lines, she said, you know, it's in her experience, and what she eventually ended up doing was she would just get up, not necessarily out of the bed, but just, you know, use it as
just stay awake,
not the rest of the night, but just wake up for a little bit, use it as someone, God, whomever, trying to communicate with me, and I'm going to use this opportunity and just pray. And you know, similar. So for her, it wasn't like her guides, but in essence, that's what it is, you know, communication from a higher being. And even if it's your higher self, whatever it is. So yeah, I totally agree with you. It's a great opportunity for you to kind of look at things and say, you know, what is it that I need to be aware of? What kind of message do I need to receive that I haven't been open to for whatever reason? Because life is so hectic, because, you know, life.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I don't always do that. I've always remembered that. But I usually, and I find that I do it more and more. I kind of look around, you know, when I'm taking everything in and assessing my surroundings, and I really just have gotten in a place where I can look around and give gratitude for everything. And it's, you know, who I'm laying next to, who is in my space, who I'm with day in and day out. And it's, you know, I just feel really grateful for those things. And it's a, and it wasn't even planned really. It was just kind of like, you know, looking over and seeing one of my dogs and just feeling so blessed for those things. You know, I'm like, that I even have the sight to see, you know, my delicious lab, and that I have this, you know, AC pumping, and that I have, you know, just all these things that we take for granted all the time. So I do, you know, I obviously don't do this every night when I wake up or every time I wake up, but for the most part, it's just kind of become second nature, where I do just take a quick second and then try to reposition and go back to sleep, because I'm like, the day is almost here. I gotta get the hell up. So
yeah, and that's, and I will look at the time, and mm-hmm. if it's the earlier part of the evening, it's like, okay, I'm good. But if I look at the time and I've only got 30 minutes left to sleep, and I just woke up and now I'm pissed off.
Yes.
It's like, yes. I'm waking up in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Son's a bitch.
Yeah. Someone's going to die for this. Or re-die. Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's it can be supernatural for sure. And, you know, supernatural, definitely our guides are, you know, they're in other planes. And you know, like I said, I personally have both positive and negative experiences in these, you know, during these hours, the witching hour, if you will. But more and more, I find that I do have the courage to, you know, protect myself, and the bravery and the pissed offness where I'm like, no, I'm trying to sleep, guys. Right. Don't touch my knees.
Right. I mean, it has gotten to the point to where if I know I've got something big tomorrow, mm-hmm. and I am trying to get a full night's sleep, I will, before I go to sleep, say a prayer and ask for a good full night's sleep so that I can do a good job at my task tomorrow. And I mean, that's, I feel like for me, waking up in the night has become the norm. So I have to take steps to not do it.
Agreed. That's a good point too. And that's a really good point, because like we've said before, when you're asking, you know, when you're communicating with your guides, your guardian angels, whoever it may be, that you do empower them to help you more if you ask for help. So that's a great tool, is to use your team, your enlightened team, if you will, and ask them, you know, tell them what the situation is. And yeah, I when we did Reiki level 1 and 2, I used to go through, you know, out of fear and wanting to sleep and not be afraid, I used to every night, you know, protect my home, like put the bubble of light around my house and ask like everyone on my team and everyone on everyone else's team to come and protect me, because I was so freaked out. And I would, you know, same thing, I would thank all of those enlightened beings for their love, light, healing and protection, and ask them for sound, you know, peaceful, restful sleep, all of those things. And, you know, I don't do it nearly as often anymore. You know, like the couple stories I told you about the last few nights, I did, you know, quick shields up and light over the house and all that good stuff, and call in my people. And, you know, I'm like, just, you know, do a perimeter check, if you will, my people, make sure all is good. So I don't do it as often as I used to. It's definitely something good to keep going, because it's never bad to be protected.
So let me ask you this. Have you ever done things during the witching hour on purpose? To use the witching hour to your benefit?
No. I'm going to say no off the top of my head. I can't think of something. I know I've done remote Reiki sessions, but that hasn't been past midnight. It's been like, you know, 10, 11 p.m.
Okay.
No, nothing where I specifically said like, you know, oh, it's this time of night and the full moon is out and nothing like that. I've done crystal grids in preparation for different phases of the moon.
Oh, that's cool.
But not like used, not done it, you know, during the witching hour. And I haven't used that time of day to do anything specific except sleep. How about you?
I'm trying to think if any time that I've stayed awake just for that purpose or set an alarm clock just to get up for that purpose. I feel like I've done it once, maybe twice, just to do a meditation for whatever reason. I remember going outside once, but I don't think it was during the witching hour. I think I was just waiting for the optimum time of the full moon.
Yeah.
To go into my backyard and do a meditation, lean up against a tree and do a meditation. And because they said the veil was the thinnest at that time of year or that particular day. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting. I mean, that's a whole nother episode, but actually staying up for the witching hour to do something. When I was reading and doing research on that, I was like, "Ooh, that's somebody who's dedicated to that spell or that meditation mm-hmm. or whatever it is they're doing."
Well, and it's the same level of dedication you would have if you decided you were going to fast to as part of a prayer for something, you know, for healing or whatever it is. A lot that's in the Bible where people do that fasting, or do you know what I mean? Like it's to advance and heighten the, not the outcome, but the kind of to show your commitment, your loyalty to, you know, your faith and stand behind it. And so kind of the same thing. Do you know what I mean? It's yeah, making sense so. In my head. I may not be explaining that right, but you know, kind of the same thing. So that you're getting up or staying awake specifically to do something between midnight and 4 a.m. where you're, you know, that it doesn't make it bad in any way. You're just putting extra effort and emphasis into your faith to get something done.
Yeah, I think the term witching hour mm-hmm. is kind of a bogus term. I mean, yeah. I think it is a quiet time. For me, it's a quiet hour, mm-hmm. communication hour, whatever you want to call it, witching hour. I learned that the 1560, the year 1560 is when the term was coined by mm-hmm. Pope John Paul II. And then it wasn't long after that that the witch hunts started.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, is that time legit? Is that a thing? Yes. Is witching hour the right term? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I want to rename it, but I don't know what to rename it to.
Right. Definitely not the devil's hour.
No. The clarity hour.
The
magic hour. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like magic hour, not necessarily the witch's right. hour. I like magic hour. Right.
Yeah, there's just such a negative connotation with like witch and craft and, do you know what I mean? Like, and that's not what it is. It's very, well, I don't want to say that. It can be. But the things that we have researched, the things that we have chosen to learn about and talk about have been very positive. And it's been not the witchcraft to summon the devil or, you know, it hasn't been anything like that. It's been very loving and nurturing of the earth and nurturing of yourself. And you know, the wheel of the year is, that's pagan, that's you know, Ostara right. and Beltane, and these are celebrations of the seasons and the earth, and
it's a celebration of nature,
right,
and all
fertility
of nature's cycles.
And magic, exactly. So it's, you know, it's
Yeah, I so know. I feel like the witching hour, which we are now renaming right. the magic hour. So
according to Chantelle and Marie.
That's right. So internet, do a find that's and
right.
replace.
That's right.
Magic hour feels a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is, I mean, yes, it's the darkest hour of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of nature. Right. It's part of the cycle. It just is.
It is. And I would never say that there isn't supernatural activity in the middle of the night, because that is super not true. But it's not limited to the middle of the night. I do agree with you when you said that it's the time when you're the calmest, you're most open, because you are relaxed. You are, you know, you've kind of let the day, you know, kind of drip off of you, roll off of you, and
right, you're calming back down,
right,
and you're starting to get your rest.
Yeah,
and
you're not all focused on the day, and,
right? You're clearing your head,
right,
and just you're chilling out. It's mm-hmm. it's the balance. Mm-hmm. It's the yin and the yang, the day and the night, the calm exactly. and busy.
Yeah, so I do agree with that, and I did read. There are some paranormal investigators that talked about that being, so, you know, a lot of investigations go on in the evening, in the night, not in the evening, in the night. And they do these overnights where, you know, I remember, I think it's Paranormal State. They used to do theirs, and a lot of the shows do them, and do them around 3 a.m. or end by 3 a.m. or something like that, because, you know, they do it in the witching hour. And so I did find it interesting that they said, well, you know, it is the time when there seems to be a lot of activity, and the human body, if you're on a normal sleep schedule, you are more tired, you're more receptive, and the world in general is quieter. So you don't have all the noise of the traffic and the cars and people's phones going off and all kinds of conversations, because most everyone is asleep.
Most everyone.
Right. So, you know, they say that's why those are good hours to perform those paranormal investigations, because the world is so quiet, or the world in your area, your little part of the world is so quiet. So, you know, it just is what it is. But, you know, obviously the best time to do an investigation is when the activity is heightened.
That's right.
Yeah. So don't try to do an investigation at a haunted house at midnight, when the activity usually kicks off at 4 p.m. So just a little something.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And every cycle has its time.
Exactly. So we do have some stories for you guys tonight. Some, you know, these aren't magical stories. These are creepy stories to stay in line with the supernatural, because it's still out there. That's part of the witching hour. So Marie, do you have any stories?
I do not have any stories. I'm going to sit here and listen to your stories.
So I have a lot of my own of things that have happened, you know, in the middle of the night. But
and those are the ones I want to hear.
Well, I've told some of those, you know, and some of the ones I just told a little bit ago where, you know, I just felt some touching and saw the face and the whatever. But Sandy Cat's in here and he is on his back staring at me. Looking all funny.
Okay, and he has been alone all week as well. So.
Oh, that's right, Sanderson. So
today's my first day back, and he has been.
Aww, it's like mama.
He's been all over me.
Okay, so I think I've told you guys my parents' house has had activity. So it's not always active. It's not a portal. It's just things have gone on there. And way back when they first moved into their home, they had a family member, one of our family members, stay with them. And this person slept in, they have a guest room on the first floor of the house, and then the rest of the rooms are upstairs. And this family member stayed in the guest room and was telling me that their first few nights there, they were woken up every morning at like between 3 and 3:30 every morning. And it was like 3 or 4 nights in a row, something like that. And it was like a noise or a whatever. And it was like in the room. It was so close, the sound. And I remember one of the nights, it may have been the first night, it was like a cologne bottle had been knocked over off of the bureau. And no rhyme or reason for this, because so you guys, in our area, we have an Air Force base that's very close by, and they, when they do, when they're flying the jets and stuff and bomb testing, like, things just shake. And that is not the case at 3 a.m. They're not doing that at 3 a.m. Like, no. Bombs aren't being tested. And so nothing is shaking. The ceiling fan was on. It had been on the whole time, but it does not vibrate the room. Like, this is a two-story sturdy home. It's not made of popsicle sticks. It's so, yeah, like, for this full cologne bottle to fall off of the bureau, it was like in the middle of the bureau, you know, up on the top surface, for it to fall over was just odd. But then for something to fall and make noise for like two or three additional consecutive nights was just...
So they must have been carrying with them a ghost kitty cat that was just knocking things off the table.
Yes, just batting crap off.
Right.
Just bat, bat. Yes, exactly. So I was like, well, I'm done talking to you. So long then. Don't call me again. So yeah, that was crazy. And then when I was recalling that story, I remembered, remember when I told you right after Reiki Level 1, so that like weekend or a few days later, I had 9 bottles of perfume and cologne on the corner of my dresser, and the 3 on the outside, the very left side, were all turned facing to the left.
I do remember that because I thought that was so creepy.
Right? And so when I remembered the story, I was like, what is it with perfume and cologne? Mm-hmm. And my family, what the heck? So I don't know.
Do you think they turned during the witching hour or the magic hour?
Listen, I don't give an S when they turned. I really don't. Just the fact that they did it. Like, I don't care for that. Yeah, I forgot all about that perfume story until I remembered this cologne story. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Creepy.
That is creepy.
Yeah. So I still don't care for my bottles being turned. But whatevs. All right, so here is a story, like an outside story, not from the family, thank goodness. My grandma's house is in a small Midwestern town, a white and old-looking home on a farm. She even has a chipped wood Mother Mary nativity in the front yard. You get the picture. The worst is she has a cemetery about half a mile down the road. Anyway, I used to sleep in the room in the corner of the top floor, my aunt's room, and it had a wooden rocking chair in it. When I was younger, I would wake up because I thought I heard it rocking, to the point where I would wake up my grandma and have to stay in her room. Well, about 10 years later, my mom, aunt, and I, during Thanksgiving, were talking about how creepy grandma's house was. Which, you know, what grandmother doesn't love that?
Well, especially if it's so close to a cemetery.
Exactly. My uncle's on to talk about how when she was younger, the reason my mom and her ended up sharing a room was because she thought her room was haunted. She said she woke up one morning and the rocking chair was about 2 feet closer to her bed. And after that night, it would start rocking on a nightly basis at midnight. No, sir. That is a hard pass for me. No, not going to happen. Number one, let's just break down the decor. I am not going to have an effing rocking chair in my room. No.
Why not?
Listen, if that thing moves on its own, even if I can explain it, the AC just came on, the gust of wind hit it, and the thing rocked. That is not the life for me, Marie Rose. I can't. You know. You know how I get down, and that is not the way. My furniture may not rock.
There's just so many mothers and babies with rocking chairs, yeah, in their room, you know,
good for them,
for rocking the baby to sleep, sure, and nursing. And
I get that, but if I have a rocking chair in my home, it's going to need to have some feet on it, like some kind of little stopper where I can make it so that it doesn't just rock when a gust of wind. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're gonna have to work for that one.
I get
you're really gonna have to work. It's like making my couch rock. It's not meant to do that. So if you do it, I know you really mean business and you're trying to get my attention. No, I'm not going to have that. And at midnight? Oh, I mean, there's no good time for a chair to rock by itself. But when you're trying to sleep, no. Okay, here's another one. My grandfather died last year, sometime when my son was maybe a year old. We had dinner with the whole family every Friday night, so my son had seen him several times. My grandfather was a very quiet, proud man, but when he thought he was alone or unseen, he would make silly faces at my son to get a laugh. A couple of nights after his funeral, my son, who liked to crawl into bed with us in the middle of the night, started just laughing uncontrollably at 2 a.m. Okay, I have a lot to say about that.
So, 2 a.m., witching hour, grandpa's coming to say hey.
Well, no one should be laughing at 2 a.m. It's just unsettling. The story's not over, but I just, as soon as I read that, I was like, there's no damn way. I'm sorry. And then a baby laughing at 2 a.m.? No. That baby must go.
Oh, is a baby.
Like, not a newborn baby, but this was like a young baby. I mean, the kid was like a year old, a yearish.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of weird. Yeah. So grandpa's definitely coming and saying,
yes, Marie Rose. And saying, yeah. So,
saying, hey.
No, wait. It gets better. So, okay. Yada, yada, laughing uncontrollably at 2 a.m. Okay. I get out of bed to see what's going on and find my son sitting in the middle of the living room in the dark. Laughing. Okay, it got worse. I say, hey buddy, what are you doing? And in toddler speak, he says, Papa funny. I got a little nervous for some reason and went to pick him up and bring him to our room for the rest of the night. As I'm hauling him away, he says, bye Papa, and blows a kiss at absolutely nothing I can see. So mega cute in the end.
Yeah,
mega cute because he sees his grandfather. However,
sweet.
Listen, if my son pulls some crap like this anywhere between midnight and 4 a.m. and is laughing uncontrollably at nothing in the dark, guess where I'm going to leave him? Right there in the dark. Be like, you can tell your friend to put you back in your bed. That's what I'm going to say. What would you have done if this happened with Christy? Did this happen ever? Did she ever wake you up because she's laughing in the night? Not in her sleep.
No, we have not experienced visitors like that, not to that level.
Mm-mm. You guys, if you have a story like this, please tell us, because I have no recourse. I just want to know. It's very creepy.
Yeah. And I also want to hear from our listeners if they have a better term for witching hour.
Yes. Like even better than magic hour.
Yeah, I want to hear some suggestions.
Because magic hour sounds like it's better than witching hour.
It's magical.
Yeah, however, it sounds a little bit like the hour you spend at Magic Mike.
Now we're talking.
That's magic hour.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Right?
Yeah, that's some good stuff there.
I know. So maybe something a little more appropriate. Okay. When I was a kid, this happened. My uncle and I were finishing up chopping and gathering firewood for my grandmother because it was getting dark. Driving back on a dirt road at about 30 miles an hour, give or take 5 miles an hour, I had this awful sense of being watched. Before I could turn to look out my window, passenger side, my uncle quickly shouted, "Don't!" I completely froze. My heart felt like it was beating out of my chest, then completely stopped when I heard a tap tap on my window. Mind you, they're going like 35-ish miles an hour, okay? Yeah. So he hears this tapping on his window. On the passenger window. Tap, tap. Mm-hmm. My uncle sped up and was loudly praying in my native language. I didn't know what was going on and thought it was over till our truck suddenly dipped from the bed. My uncle then started saying, "Look at me, don't turn away," over and over. Then I heard it again, tap, tap, but from the window behind me. It was getting harder for me to breathe and I wanted to cry. A minute or two passed and the truck dipped again. My uncle looked around inside. It was quiet besides the truck and on the road. He looked at me and said, "We'll ask your father to do a prayer in the morning so the evil will forget our faces." I remember curling up on the seat and just staring at the radio, watching the time, listening to my uncle sing an old prayer till we got to my grandmother's house. No.
Was it a haunted road?
Listen, I don't know. I don't know if it was the road. I don't know if something was attached to them while they were out chopping wood. I don't know if it was an angry tree. I just don't know. What I do know is that gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, that one's creepy.
I was like, what the hell?
Creepy.
Yeah. I did not care for that. Okay, so here's the last one. A few years ago, my brother would get a call on his cell phone around 2 to 3 every morning. Right in the smack middle of the witching hour. Or the magic hour, whatevs. He would answer, and it was this hellish sounding noise, like static mixed with screams. He changed his cell number after a month of this, and it stopped. After a week or so, it began again. The exact same noise, exact same time. Finally, one day, he decided to back dial the call. It was an old man that had no clue what he was talking about. Still, the calls persisted.
So his cell phone is going off in the middle of the night.
Between 2 and 3 a.m.
And he's answering it.
Right.
And there's this noise.
Yeah, static mixed with screams. Ugh. You think it's someone at a rave?
Could be.
They're like, Jenny, answer your phone.
Come pick us up. We're drunk.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's someone trying to be responsible. Obviously.
It's either a drunken come pick me up or a drunken booty call, one or the other.
Oh, the static and the screams, that's different. All right, so the calls persisted. If he didn't answer, it would call a few more times. No messages left. He decided to say screw it, ended his contract with the phone company, switched to a new one, and got another new number. And you guessed it, the screaming static calls continued after a short while. By this time, he was terrified every night, unsure of what was happening. He backed out the number again and got a different person. Around this time, he lost his job and his phone. The call stopped, of course. His phone was disconnected. One day, my mom asked me to listen to this weird message she got on our home phone. It was the static screaming. We showed my brother and he freaked out. He backed out the number again and it said the number was disconnected. Never heard from that caller again.
So I'm guessing his phone didn't have the do not disturb feature on it.
Yeah, but well, even if it did, doesn't the do not disturb have a feature where if you call back to back, it will come through? I think it's like you have to call twice back to back and then it bypasses the do not disturb. So smart ghost, I don't know. You be the judge.
I think he has a friend who's messing with him.
Yeah, because to get two new phone numbers and then lose your phone, or, you know, your phone gets disconnected and then
maybe a crazy ex-girlfriend.
The call is going through on your mom's line. For the mom to then get a call, yeah, I'd say some girl is involved. Some pissed off girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Mm-hmm. She's like, you ate my french fries and did not even call me back. You son of a bee. Eat my french fries at the local Denny's. No. Mm-mm. No. So I mean, I remember when I was little, the sound of the busy tone. Remember that loud ass sound?
Yeah, the beep, beep, beep.
Mm-hmm. It used to creep me out. Oh, I hated that noise.
Oh,
I was like,
really?
Okay. Yeah, I hated it. Well, especially because I think like one night, somebody in the house, like we had family over, so there were like way extra bodies in the house. And we had, you know, obviously landlines because I'm an 80s kid. And the phone, like whoever was on it had like left it stretched through the hall and like it was in a doorway or something. So somebody kicked it over. And then like in the quiet still of the house, you hear that busy tone.
Yeah.
And I was so creeped out. I was like six. I'm like, oh yeah. It's like, no, someone's coming to get me. So
through the telephone line.
Mm-hmm. It's a thing, Marie Rose. God. So yeah, that is that's the jam right there. So you guys, that is our episode on the witching hour. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. If you have your own stories about the witching hour, positive, negative, happy, sad, scary, whatevs, feel free to share with us at themediamatters@gmail.com. you can also find us on Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, and Instagram. I was like, which one am I missing? on Instagram. So if you guys have anything that you want us to talk about, make sure you let us know. We would be happy to cover it for you. And yeah, that's all we got. I had fun.
I had fun too. I always have fun with you. Mm-hmm.
Me too. Me too. And, you know, you guys can't see Marie, but her little face is so tan because she was on workcation.
All right.
So it's like a moon tan.
It could be.
Going on after hours.
Be. Well, I managed to put in enough hours during the week to where I could take Saturday and Sunday off.
That's nice.
So that was good.
Yeah. So, all right, you guys, until next week, it's been fun, fun, fun. We will be back with a whole new episode next week. And yeah, don't forget to like us, love us, follow us, subscribe, leave a kick-ass review on iTunes or wherever you do your podcasting. And that's all we got.
Yeah. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night. We love you guys.